This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
Great to have you with us, everybody. Also with us, at least metaphorically speaking, Lynette Lopez. She is with Business Insider. Sudeep Reddy is with The Wall Street Journal. The topic, as it usually is 2 minutes into this program on a Friday afternoon, is what the heck has been happening since Monday. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. All right. So you guys won over the Secretary of Commerce, first of all. Surprise. Sudeep, Sudeep, I want to start with you, and I want to talk about this week in large financial institutions, this idea that five of the big banks this week were found not to have met their living will requirements, that is, the ability to be taken apart if the economy goes south and they get stressed. How worried are you about that?
Well, this is a long process. They've been fighting this for years of what should a living will be? What does it even mean to have a living will? And whether the firms have done what's necessary to protect themselves so that we're not on the hook as taxpayers. Now, the notion that a major financial institution could fail today or a year from now and not cost taxpayers any money still seems like utter fantasy. Like, it doesn't really fit with how we think about it. But the worst part of this is we'll never really know until a crisis hits whether it would work. And in a crisis, we're likely to say, well, but it was a perfect storm. So that's what took it down and is not the actual details of what these firms did.
Lynette, what was the vibe on Wall Street, actually? I mean, what were the banks saying? What were you hearing at the bars and you know, the clubs of New York?
And the club that I was in was a very fancy schmancy investor conference.
And
actually, Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, happened to be speaking there the day that it was found that his bank did not have an adequate living will. And basically what he had to say was, you know, hey, this is a work in progress. We're all getting killed across the street. We have to hold more money than we ever have before instead of putting it to work to make more money. And that's hurting our business. But, you know, this is what we have to deal with in order to make the economy safe. And that's just part of what we do now. Some of the hedge fund managers in the audience were bellyaching a little bit more than Jamie actually was.
Interesting. All right. New topic, Sudeep. China, its numbers out today. Growth there is slowing, slowest in 7 years. I want you to relate that to the American consumer, who seems to be the bright spot in the global economy. Discuss.
The bright spot in the global economy means that we have American consumers who still want to buy cheap stuff as much as possible. And we are buying the cheap stuff that China produces. Yeah. And it's helping China maintain its existing model. And what China is doing, obviously, China's growth numbers are generously estimated.
Yeah,
they come up with a lot of numbers in a somewhat quirky and unusual fashion that we wouldn't necessarily accept here. But when you go in the direction they're going, they're trying to do a much longer term change in their economy, and nobody in the political leadership really wants to force it that way. So they go through and pour more stimulus money in, do whatever is necessary. And it's just maintaining the existing order of Americans buying a lot of stuff, Chinese still producing it, and we're still quite far away from actually turning that order around.
Do you think
Chinese buying things?
The problem is that China has too much stuff and the rest of the world doesn't want it. Like, Americans are still buying that cheap stuff, but China just has way too much of it. And instead of getting rid of the companies that make this stuff that the world doesn't want, China's just pumping more money into them because they don't want to see their GDP go down. They don't want to see people out of work, even though they're already planning that that's going to happen. And they don't want to have to take care of these painful reforms.
Right.
But they have so much stuff. So much stuff.
That's a technical
economic
business
term. All kinds of trinkets, mad steel, coal. Nobody wants it.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem.
Last thing, Lynette, and then we'll let you go because we've got 40 seconds left. I know you follow this. You tweet about it all the time. I want you to give us the 30-second elevator pitch on what is going on down in Brazil. The president there, Dilma Rousseff, is facing impeachment this weekend. This is a big deal.
We're seeing the end of the Brazilian ruling party for like the last 15 years, the PT. And they were found to be caught in the heads of essentially corruption scandal that involved basically looting the state oil company Petrobras 2 years ago. Dilma herself has not been she's not been accused of any wrongdoing, but she is going through impeachment proceedings right now because they're accusing her of lying about the health of the economy last year when things were going south. I mean, we're talking double-digit inflation, right, while her approval number is in the single digits. You know, economic growth is nil, and the commodities that Brazil exports to the rest of the world, nobody wants them. Right. Same problem as China.
Same problem
nobody
as China. And the Olympics are coming, and it's going to be a long, hot summer down there.
It's a hot mess.
Lynette Lopez at Business Insider, Sadiq Reddy at The Wall Street Journal. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Guy.
Thanks, Guy.